Father God, thank you that when you speak, the dry bones become flesh. That you're the God of hope, you're the God of restoration, you're the God of light in dark places. Father God, we pray that our lives would reflect you and bring hope to others as well. So as we come to your word now, we pray that it would speak something to us. Lord, I pray that there'd be a phrase, a word, something that would just spark in us a new encounter with you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So how were those moments preparing for this message where you start preparing one message, you find something that intrigues you, and before you know it, you're on a wild goose chase, and you end up with a completely different message to where you started. So we were going to be looking at the story of Samuel, which we might look at next week. And as we look at the calling of Samuel, and how Samuel said, "Here am I," based on looking at what we looked at last week, if you were here at church, about Mary saying, "Here am I." We were going to look at Samuel saying, "Here am I, Lord." And as I was looking at this passage and reading through the beginning of Samuel, you get to this this verse in verse 3, which says this: "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was." And you think, and? But what's interesting about that passage is it suggests that the lamp was going to burn out at some point in the night. Now, if you know anything about the story of Samuel, what you'll find out is that Samuel is a protege priest of someone called Eli, and Eli's not a very good priest. He's not that bothered, really. He doesn't really kind of believe the stuff. He goes through the motions, but he doesn't really believe it for himself. Now, why this passage is interesting is because the fact that the lamp was going to go out suggests that it wasn't going to be burning continually. Now, if you go to Exodus, which talks about all things that priests must do, it talks about how the lamp of God should be burning continually. And this will be a perpetual thing through all generations, the fact that the lamp of God in the temple should always be burning. So the fact that he said the lamp of God had not yet gone out, you go, that's an intriguing thing that's going on there. But it doesn't mean to say it should have been burning continually, because there is actually, if you go to Exodus a little bit further on, in Exodus 30, it says, "Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. When Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout all generations." Now, what would happen is in the temple, there was a very large lampstand with lots of different lamps on it. These were oil lamps that burned olive oil. Now, to burn oil lamps, you have to have a wick. So a bit of string or a bit of material. And what that does is that absorbs the liquid you're going to burn, the oil you're going to burn, and then the wick kind of allows it to burn off. But what happens is, in order to keep it burning brightly and keep it burning and going well, you've got to have a point where you trim the wick and get rid of all the nasty burnt bits so that it can burn fresh. And what would happen is, twice a day in the temple, there was a point in time when the lamp was put out, the wicks were trimmed, and they were relit again. Twice a day, morning and evening. Now, if you go back to the story of Samuel, the fact that the lamp was going to be allowed to go out meant that rather than stopping the lamp before it burnt out and trimming the wick, they just went, "Oh, we'll sort it out in the morning when it's finished with all its oil." There was no care or attention taken to the lamps that God had commanded should always be burning. It should always be bright. It should always be tended to and cared for. And as I was thinking about this kind of this idea, this need to take care and attention for that which allows us to burn brightly. If you go to the story of in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story about some bridesmaids, some virgins, and their lamps. And he talks about the importance of preparing your lamp. I won't tell you the whole story, but basically some wise some wise ladies and some not so wise ladies. And the wise ones know how to prepare the lamps. They've got spare oil and they've got their lamps ready to go. And in the morning they wake up and they trim their wicks. This was part and parcel of what you did when you had oil lamps, which is how you lit your life in ancient times. Good lamp maintenance was really important if you wanted your lamp to burn well and to burn bright. Jesus says in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You and I are called to be like lights into the world. But so often in our lives, our wicks become crusty and old. They dry out. And actually, we don't pay attention to the care and the things that we need to do in our lives that God wants to do. We just let our lamps burn out. We think we've got enough and that will keep us going, but actually it's not sustainable in the long term. You can only have passion for so long. If it's not replenished, it will wane. You can only do things for so long before you burn out. We use that phrase in our culture, before you burn out. And what this passage is suggesting to us this morning is this. We need to take care of our wicks. Not to burn out, but to take care of them. As long as we are called to put things out, rather than to burn out. So three things this morning just to think about at the start of this year. Firstly this, in terms of your life. If you want to burn bright in your life, if you want your life to be something that is in a healthy place, firstly, don't let your wick dry out. If the wick of a lamp dries out, when you burn it, the wick burns up rather than burning up the oil that's in the lamp. And it's so easy for us in our lives spiritually to get to a place where we've dried up. We're dried out. And if you go back to the story of the virgins and the oil, what it's speaking about is the Holy Spirit, the need to be soaked in the presence of God, to be living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit in all of our life. As part of our vision is to be people who trust the Father and receive the Spirit before we tell the story of the Son. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives at work in us. We need to be drenched, we need to be soaked, we need to be ready for God in all that we do. Is your life this morning at a place where you're thinking, I just feel really dry. I just feel like I've got nothing left. Because the good news is God says, I've got more to give you. I love that passage in Psalm 23, where David says, you prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. It's saying when it all feels that it's too much, there's always provision. And it's not just a bit of provision. It is a banquet. It is a feast. There is an abundance for you. God longs to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit afresh every single day. He's longing for us to ask for it every single day. Jesus tells the story and says, which of you as a parent, if your child asked you for bread, would give them a stone? Or asked you for a fish, would give them a snake? If you, though you're fallen people as parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God longs to give the Holy Spirit to us. We need to be refreshed and drenched in the presence of God. And that means taking time out to meet with God regularly. And over the course of this year, make sure you're taking time out to just immerse yourself in the presence of God. Not to have to do anything, not to have to be anywhere, just to be in the presence of God. That's why 2 years ago we set up things like the contemplative service in the morning, which we had this morning at 9 o'clock. Once a month, if you want some time where we don't do any singing, we just use prayers and readings and stillness just to reflect on God, just to be still and bring our hearts to a quieter place. We've got soaking prayer that happens on the second Sunday evening of each month, where it's just an hour to come and just be in the presence of God with no agenda. We put these things in place because we want to encourage that idea of being people who soak up the presence of God. You can't just keep giving out and giving out and giving out if you're not replenishing what you need. Don't let your wick dry out. It's so easy for us to just give out, give out, give out, and then we end up with nothing. We We need to be seeking God to fill us afresh day by day. Secondly, trim away rather than burn out, as I've just said. It's so easy for us in our lives to keep going and doing certain things and doing certain things and doing certain things. Actually, we get to a point where we just burn out. And sometimes what we actually need to do is to put something out before it burns out. And this can be things in our life that we do, but it can also be things in the life of the church where we start a ministry or we start an activity and we keep going and going and going. And rather than say, actually, God, maybe I need to stop this now whilst it's in a good place, we keep it going because we think it has to be perpetual. It has to keep going forever and ever. But actually, even the perpetual lamp of God had to be have times where it was stopped in order for it to be renewed. So are there things that you're doing currently that actually maybe it's time to put out before you burn out? It's time to stop now before you burn out. It's time to stop and trim your wick, reflect on what it is that God's calling you to do right now in this moment, in this time. Because it's very easy in the life of a church particularly for the same people to end up doing the same things forever and ever and ever. Amen. But that's not good for anyone. So actually, is what you're doing currently something that's actually burning you out? And if it is, it's time to put it out. Trim your wick. Think about what's the new season that God has for you this year. What's the new thing for you? See, when you don't trim your wick, it becomes crusty and it becomes smoky and it starts making a bit of a mess. And when we keep going at things and going at things and going at things, even when there's not the things to sustain it, it becomes a bit of a mess. It becomes even more of a drain. I said to the leadership team a year ago, and we're still looking at this, I'd love everyone in church this time next year to be doing a different ministry now to what they're currently doing. Why is that? Is it because? No, it's because I think there's people in the church who've been coming a little while who need to step up and start serving. There's people who've been serving a long time who need to let go and let others. And actually, part of this whole trusting the Father, part of our vision, is saying, actually, I want to be in a position where actually I have to rely on God to do something. Otherwise, it might not happen. What new things might you step into this year? What old things might you put out this year? What might need to be trimmed away in your life? And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives to call us to account for things that actually maybe are in the way, things that aren't helping us in our lives. And we need to then think about what are those things that actually are making our lives ineffective, making them a bit smoky, making them cause a bit of a mess. What are the things in our life currently? That could be things to do with sin, that could be to do with things in people that we know, relationships that we're in. It could be all sorts of different things that aren't helping us right at this moment in time. Actually, maybe it's things actually we need to just cut that away. Time to trim the wick and actually start afresh this year. Because the thing is, when the wick isn't trimmed, it makes the light dimmer. It's less efficient, it's less effective, it's less bright. And Jesus says, shine brightly in this world. So what needs to be trimmed away this year in your life? What needs to be cut away? What things are getting in the way of you shining brightly? Are there attitudes? Are there mentalities? If you were on the Freedom in Christ course last year, maybe there are things that from that actually God's saying, this year, I want you to live in this truth rather than that old lie. Trim that lie out of your life and live in this new truth in this year. What things do you need to trim away this moment in time to allow this year to be a time when you can burn more brightly and more effectively? It's really important that we take time in our life to take stock and trim away the old and allow the new to come. Otherwise, it just causes us to be less efficient at shining brightly. And lastly, this: prepare your wick to burn bright. What's interesting about wicks, we do some research on them, is this: you can cut them in different ways. You can cut them straight across, you can cut them into an oval shape, or you can cut them into a point. The most effective shape of a wick is a point that points upwards. I think that's a really good metaphor for what our lives need to look like. We need to trim our wicks in a way that point up to Jesus, that point actually the way to God. Actually, when it's in a point shape, it burns more brightly than any other way you cut your wick. So you can be here this morning and you can be a non-believer, and that this is true for you. There are things in your life you need to cut away this year in your life, attitudes you need to let go of, and things you need to step into the new. But actually, if you're a believer here this morning, make sure you trim your wick in line with what God's Spirit is saying to you, because actually that's when it will have the most impact and you'll burn more brightly. You'll have more effectiveness in the way that you burn. Prepare to burn brightly. If you want to live those words of Jesus from Matthew 5 and say, actually, I want to burn brightly in this world because I have met the light of God. If you want to burn brightly, prepare yourself to burn brightly. It doesn't happen without preparation. We said this in a sermon series last year. We were talking about apprenticeship to Jesus. That grace is opposed to earning. It's not opposed to effort. And sometimes in our Christian life, there are effort we have to put in order to burn brightly. Not to earn our salvation, because grace is opposed to earning. Not to earn it, we already have that, we're secure. But actually to be more efficient and more effective in that experience of God, we have to sometimes put some effort in and do some trimming in our lives, do some preparation in our lives, put things in the right order in our lives so that we can burn more brightly for Him in this world. The other thing about when you research wicks online is this. The more wicks a lamp has, the brighter it burns. Seems fairly straightforward. But often whenever lamps are mentioned in the Bible, it's often referring to the community of God. It's referring to the people of God. It says, let your light shine like a city on a hill. When you meet Jesus in Revelation, he's walking amongst the lampstands that represent the churches of God. When it talks about lampstands, it's not talking about just one little lamp on its own. It's talking about like a menorah. You might have seen a Jewish menorah, which has the different lamps on the same lampstand. Actually, if you want to burn brighter, if you want to get yourself in the position where actually you're going to encounter God and be burned brighter for Him, you've got to do it in community, not on your own. That wicks burn best when they're together. Burn more brightly when we do it together. Community is vital to the walk of God. You can't do it on your own. We need to do it together with other people in fellowship and community. And when we do it together in community, we will burn brighter together than we do on our own. Don't neglect the community of God. It says in Hebrews, it says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but dwell together. Be together. There's something powerful when the saints of God gather together in one place. Something happens. Something changes. There's something it talks about in the Bible, in the Psalms, how God inhabits the praises of his people. When we are together, it's like there's a greater sense of the presence of God amongst us. Don't give up meeting together. Burn brightly together as lamps together. Wicks burn best when they're part of a lampstand. Let your wick be part of something bigger than just you. And lastly, this. Think about a wick. It can't self-ignite. It can't get itself going. It has to be lit. And the thing I really believe God's saying about this year for us as a church is this. This is a year about encountering God. Being set on fire afresh by the Spirit of God and by the power of God. We need to encounter God. It says in Isaiah 55, it's on the front of your new sheet as well. Seek the Lord whilst he may be found. Call on him whilst he is near. Seek the Lord. Do you want to be set on fire? Do you want to encounter him? Do you want your life to shine brightly for him? Do you want something to change in your life? It happens when you meet the person who is the flame, who is eternal. Be set on fire by the Spirit of God. Seek him, encounter him. That's my prayer for us this year as a church, that we would just become hungry and hungrier and hungrier to encounter the presence of God. You can read all the books in the world. You can know all the songs. You can live the greatest life. But there is nothing greater than the presence of God. Nothing more powerful than the presence of God. That moment when you just know that he is with you. I don't want anything else other than the presence of God. Because when we are set on fire by his presence, we will burn brightly in this world. And it is contagious. And we will set other people on fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us be ready to burn. Help us not dry out, but be ready to soak in your presence. Father God, help us think about things that we need to put out rather than just burn out. Things we need to take active decisions upon today to trim away and to trim out rather than to let them carry on going until they have a deeper effect. And Lord, help us be prepared to trim our lives in accordance with you in heaven. To cut our wicks into a point so that actually we are pointing towards you. We burn brightly for you. So at the beginning of this year, we prepare ourselves and our hearts ready for what you want to do in us this year. And that we would come ready to encounter you, to be set on fire by you, to have our hearts relit and reignited with that passion and that hunger for you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.